last two segments with Sri, we got to know about his inroad into cricket, how he started following the game, his favorite memories while growing up watching the game, and we also dealt with the fact that now he's in USA. So what keeps him glued on to the game even now? What makes him wake up early on in his time to catch a game of cricket or a session of test match cricket? And how? And then we moved on to a section where we spoke about various topics that connect us in many ways. That is our lack of interest for IPL in the past few years. R. Ashwin as a probable or possible commentator in the coming years, just by the sheer brilliance of the way he conducts his shows, Reminisce with Ash and DRS with Ash, and the formula for success now. And also we got to know about what other shows Srihari has been following in the lockdown phase, which and he gave us a peek into why through this the ESPN Info's video cast, his opinion about Sanjay Manjrekar as anchor and host has changed. Not necessarily, not exactly as a commentator, just as anchor and host. And finally, to round off this pretty memorable conversation with one of my really close friends from childhood, we get into other topics like Srihari's interest and fascination for left-handers or lefties, as we call them. So be it a left-arm fast bowler, a left-arm batsman, left-arm spinner, or a left-arm wicketkeeper. Why is he so fascinated, and why does he like these players so much? And we also get into a fun-filled segment where I put him on the back foot, and if you had to use a cricket term, by asking him some impromptu and fun questions, which brought out a very unique and interesting style into this segment. On that note, I would like to thank our listeners as well, and of course, Hari for being this kind and patient to share so much about his love and fondness for the game, and was more than willing to answer on a wide variety of topics. And as he rightly said in the ending of our conversation, this was more of a generic chat to know about Srihari as a cricket fan and a very astute brain of following the game. And hopefully soon we can reunite and discuss on a specific topic that has significance or holds significance for both of us. Thanks. So, and one more thing which kind of amused me actually, because not surprised me, is the fact that you mentioned that in one of our earlier conversations that you are a big fan of left-handers, be it bowlers, batsmen, or even wicketkeepers, because one of the reasons you gave it was they got you into a lot of trouble when you are playing or when you're facing them. So who are the favorite in that regard? Why the fascination for left-handers? Because that's something very, very unique, I think. I've not heard many people talk about that. And secondly, are there any favorites or three, four? If there are many favorites, maybe top three or top four or something, so that even I could probably connect with you. I think I might know one or two of them, but I'm not sure. I just want to know. Who are your favorites?
Yeah, for sure. So I think my fascination for left-handers came in, like you said, it was after I started playing cricket for school. Initially the like left-handers that I saw, I just knew that they were left-handers, but I could not appreciate the difference between left and right hand. Like, you know, Ganguly or Jaisurya or Syed Anwar, you know, these people were great left-handers, but, you know, I saw them more as cricketers than, I didn't associate them so much with their left-handed selves. So it was, I think, when I was in 7th or 8th standard, I guess, when I started playing cricket for school, I found, like I'm a right-hand batsman and a right-arm fast bowler, I found it difficult to face left-hand batsmen. I had to adjust my stance and stuff like that. And so at that time, I realized, you know, left-hand fast bowlers especially, they have a significant role to play. And the same thing with left-hand batsmen also, where I found it difficult to get the line and length right to bowl to them.
Different angle. So
exactly. And at that time, the people who... So, I mean, Yuvraj Singh is someone that I've enjoyed watching right through. And mid-2000s, I think Yuvraj, Raina, Sangakkara were people who... Like, you know, those are the people that I associate when you say defenders, because those are the people who were doing well at that time when I was watching them. And more than left-hand batsmen, I think, I love watching left-arm pace bowlers bowl. So the two people whose name actually, three people I'd say whose names come to my head from the mid-2000s. One is Nathan Bracken and the other one is Irfan Pathan. So these were two people I loved watching bowl. The third person, I really hoped he would actually do much better. I was a big fan of him during one series. And then I think he just went away. This is Ian Bradshaw from West Indies. So
that's a series which you are talking about is the 2003-04 Champions Trophy in England. Apparently West Indies went on to win. They beat England in the...
I think that's the one that I'm talking about. So, I started modeling my action on his after that. And, he, of course, never did very well. I think he played in the 2006 India series, but I think after that, pretty much nothing. Talking about more recent, like another... A person that I was very excited seeing was Barinder Sran, because after a long time, I saw that India had actually got a left-arm pacer. Because since Zahir Khan, RP Singh, Irfan Pathan, and Nehra, we haven't had significant left-arm pacers. So in the 2016 or 17 Australia series, when Barinder Sran was picked, I was like, okay, you know, a new left-hand pacer. This would be exciting.
Exciting, yes.
Yeah, but I'm still hoping he will actually come back in some way.
I think there is hope. He is only 23 or 24 or something age-wise. I think hopefully he can get a good IPL in at least, so that he can get back into the national selectors radar or something. But yeah, I completely... For me personally, two things give me the biggest kick when I watch cricket. One is leg spinners, because my inspiration and ideal is Shane Warne. And I think I made that very, very honest. I'm not seeing a cricketer as gifted as Shane Warne. And I don't think world cricket will have anyone as gifted as him. And for somebody who took to cricket wanting to become a leg spinner, in India, watching Shane Warne is the beauty of the sport. So I was a leg spinner. I never batted much when I was playing for school or even coaching and all that. So I was a leg spinner who I was trying to emulate Shane Warne naturally. So that leg spinners, because they don't get much limelight, is what I feel. Now I'm thrilled and happy that T20 cricket, for whatever reasons, like test cricket, I still prefer is the best format. But T20 cricket is getting a lot of popularity. and leg spinners are actually dominating. So I feel really good because I was a leg spinner once when I was playing. So that gives me big thrill and left arm fast bowlers, like you very well said. So for me, it is two names are what I would say only one name is common in the list which you said, that is Irfan Pathan. I still feel his career could have gone on for a few more years. I understand he was not the force he was in the early 2000s or 2007 World T20 or the tour to Australia as well in 2008. But the way he came back post a lot of injuries, he could have played for a few more years. I don't know. I have my grudge that Dhoni didn't have too much fascination continuing with him. So he had a big role to play, is what I personally feel. So I may be wrong there. So one name is definitely him. But there are many others who wreaked havoc, I would say, around the world who are left-hand seamers, like Mitchell Johnson.
Yeah.
Then you have Mitchell
Start.
Starc. Yeah. So you have a lot of pure pace coming in. You have Neil Wagner now, who just
Right.
comes in and bumps batsmen up. So there's no ploy of bowling it in the corridor of uncertainty type. That Trent Bolt takes care. So one more name is considered the list, Trent Bolt. So
Trimble.
he's a sheer class. So that sort of bowler is very tough to master, leg spin and left arm fast bowling. So it is great to know that there's somebody else who actually values left-handers so much. And I think that is a thing, because many people, if you ask them who are their favorite cricketers or players, if you ask an Indian especially, they would probably say Sachin, maybe Sehwag, Dravid, Dhoni, like the pretty obvious names. So that regard, actually, this was a really great revelation that you find somebody like Nathan Bracken, who used to toil, I remember, because he was not fitted with too much talent like his team, the team which he was part of, which had Bradley, McGrath and all that. He was not gifted. Compared to them, he was pretty average, actually, if you look at it. But still, he just did his thing. He was hitting the right lengths at 130, 135 clicks, and then he was pretty successful. But sadly, I think he had some issues with the cricket board, I think. That's why he fell off the radar. So anyway, no point going back there. So as a overall, so before we conclude this, I just want to know. So now we have a situation before the COVID pandemic coming, where the cricket calendar was filled with one days and 2020, and this year was actually billed as a 2020 year because the World T20 was scheduled to happen in October. Now that's postponed. So if you look at the schedule, I think they might change it now. But there was hardly any test matches. So is it only because test match certainly has not caught the fancy of many people of late? Its popularity is slowly fading away. What do you think is the reason for this? Why not have a normal calendar? And instead, my take is, why not have test matches and 2020s? Cut out the one days. Anyway, there's no World Cup in 50 overs coming up anytime soon. Why do you want to have one days and T20s and the random test series as well? So what's your take on the general structure as you see, like more of T20s only and test matches just as a formality almost, just to keep the purists and the law-abiding crowd or whatever you want to call them happy sort of thing? There seems to be some test matches happening here and there. So what's your take on this scheduling done by the ICC, if I have to rephrase in this way?
Okay, so I have a few points regarding this. So, like, first things first, I think each format, Test cricket, One Day, and T20 have their own bunch of skills as such. And I think each format is enjoyed by a slightly different audience. So people who enjoy entertainment probably like love watching T20 games because it's a lot more happening. Yes, One Day games are becoming a little more like T20 games. And Test cricket, of course, has always been for purists, people who enjoyed watching long games as such. So, I mean, I don't believe any format should be removed, or like you were saying, having just Tests and T20s, for me personally, is not an option. Yes, more than three formats becomes a problem, but I think three formats is manageable. I'm sorry, I forgot the other question that you brought up.
No, I just wanted to know your take on the ICC giving more weightage to the T20 format, especially in this year, because there is a World T20 coming up, or was supposed to come up. So
Right.
this they are planning as such. Just wanted to know your take on that.
Like, I mean, I think this kind of thing happens like fairly regularly. You know, when there's an ODI World Cup coming up, you see a lot of countries actually playing many ODIs at a stretch as practice for the World Cup, right? Many ODI tournaments, and the same thing with T20s too. So it's not surprising to see that. In relation to this, there was one interesting topic, thing that Ashwin brought up in his interview with Manjrekar. So he basically spoke about the possibility of leagues as such displacing international cricket in the future. He like it's something that I think none of us
No one wants it to
cricket
go.
lovers want like as such, but he spoke about that possibility post these uncertain times. So like thinking about all of these things, I mean, I feel like it is natural that there are a lot of T20s that are scheduled in the next few months. Such.
Interesting. I know it's pretty tough actually. I cannot envision cricket being only a league kind of thing, because I am largely fed up when I look at the overall setup and look at the Bangladesh Premier League, Caribbean Premier League. I don't even watch the match, like forget highlights. I don't even follow the scores or passes. Only specific players, because they get picked up by a certain IPL franchise. So I'm curious to know how he's doing. So, or I will give a classic example of even Big Bash, where only some games, mainly on the weekends when I had time, the matches used to come in afternoon, Indian time, 2:30. So it was the right time to watch on a Saturday or a Sunday. So I used to catch some games. And couple maybe a year back, one of my friends, he asked me to look out for a batsman called Tom Banton. So I'm sure you would have seen him play for England as well. So he looks like KP when he gets going. So I was curious to see him, but he was not on the England setup in any format, but he was playing for Brisbane Heat. So that's when I started to follow that particular season, because he was opening the batting with Chris Lynn. So that is one painful opening combination for any bowling attack to have. But it was fun to watch, because that is possibly the only thrill, in my personal opinion, of having so many leagues. You get to explore some extremely gifted talent, which who may not even make it to the national teams. So that is
Right.
only positive. Yeah. But of course, you look at the overall picture, you're diversifying the game and you're bringing in larger sector of audience who would rather watch than watch without a clear-cut result also being a possibility. That is a draw. So I can understand that set of audience as well. So you know, before we close, I would move into the final section, I would say, of the of our episode, which is a fun segment, more of a rapid fire sort of a thing. So basically, whatever comes to your mind first, I would say just answer that. So
okay.
So could be interesting. I'm just so to start off, I would say, who's your favorite Pakistan cricketer of all time?
I mean, I think it's okay. So the first name that comes to my head is Mohammad Amir, because left arm pacer, and
nice.
I remember his comeback in the 2016 T20 World Cup, where he technically got 3 wickets in 3 balls. He got Rohit Sharma out twice in 2 balls, and then I think Rahane the third
right.
ball, if I remember. So
India,
that's the
21 for 4, I think, chasing 80 something, and Virat Kohli saved
India. Yeah.
In that game.
So, So, I mean, that's the first name that actually comes to my head in the recent past. Of course, I've loved watching Akram and again a left-arm pacer. But, yeah.
So, okay. So, my next question is, so you mentioned a very important player's name, like Rahul Dravid. So, who gets completely sidelined almost because of Sachin, Lakshman, Ganguly, Sehwag and all that. So, because in your opinion, who's the, although they call Pujara the Dravid, but who's the Rahul Dravid of world cricket now, in your opinion? Means as in, from this angle, who's pretty skillful as a batsman, but completely gets under the radar, doesn't get spoken about much. My answer for that would be Babar Azam from Pakistan. I feel people don't talk about him much. He's that good. I don't know why he doesn't get even spoken of. So, just wanted to know.
Yeah, I somewhat agree with you on Babar Azam, but I think he is still in his slightly early days. So, I'm sure, you know, 2-3 years from now, He will get the recognition that most of the Fab Four have. But I can't. I don't agree with the popular view on this. The fact that you know, Pujara in general is the closest. I mean, I love watching Pujara bat because it reminds me a lot of Dravid batting. So, yeah.
Okay. So, next is, from a purely Indian fan point of view, which hurt the most? 2003 World Cup final where Australia beat India, or 2007 World Cup when India got thrown out of the tournament in the first round? Which hurt the most personally? So, not exactly why. I just want to know which hurt the most. So, it's a more of a, let's say, a statistic kind of question, because I am not an Indian fan, so I just want to know what the Indian fan feels. So,
I mean, I think the 2007 loss definitely hurt more than 2003. I mean, 2007 more than India getting kicked out when they lost to Bangladesh. I think that was.
That was difficult to take. True, twice. Especially the fact, when you consider that Bangladesh were, now they are a pretty good side actually, but that time they are pretty poor. Only one or two players like Tamim Iqbal, probably Shakib Al Hasan had just come into the team, I think, at
Yeah,
Enzo.
there
So
were a few.
Sam.
There were Mushfiqur Rahim. There was like Mashraf and Murtaza. A lot of people who actually
Yeah.
have been there for a long time now were all people who were actually coming up at that time. So, I mean, looking back, even with all of them, I think it was sad that India lost.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So I think that hurt more. I remember watching the 2003 World Cup final in your house.
Yes, I do. I do remember that. For some reason, I don't know, we are actually not watching the game. We are
Yeah.
playing something in the room, in my room inside. And I was the only person who was jumping and pointing, was going about his business with Martin. And I remember my parents, even your parents, if I'm not wrong, they're like, what's wrong with you? India are getting thrashed, they're losing in a World Cup final, and you're jumping. I was like,
Yeah.
what answer? I was like a 11, 12-year-old kid who's completely amazed by what is happening here. Because of the pressure, World Cup final, and Ponting and Martin are playing so well. So I clearly remember that game.
Yeah.
So just to give last couple of questions before we end this really fantastic episode. So a musical twist. So if you had to choose one song, it can be any song, because I know that you also listen a lot to A.R. Rahman's work. So probably a A.R. Rahman song which comes to mind when you think of a player like, let's say, Virat Kohli or the current Indian team. Any song or any, no, let's rephrase this, any song or any movie character which defines Virat Kohli, like a fictional kind of thing. Do you have any thing? Because I've heard many people say angry young man, this, that, so, or they've dedicated some songs which define I have this. So I get a lot of Twitter action when it comes to who is what. So many people call him Iron Man or Batman or whatever. So I just wanted to know, like, if we had to give a fictional movie character or a song dedication to Virat Kohli, what would that be like?
I think, I mean, like the first thing that came to my head, I think this is not just with respect to Virat Kohli, but like anything to do with the Indian team is the Chak De India song. Because I mean, like a lot of I mean, nice memories around that time. And I think that's a song that I associate with the Indian cricket team right throughout the last 15 years. Nothing specific that I can think of for Virat Kohli as such, but yeah, this is the one song that I can think of with respect to the Indian cricket team.
Okay, and finish off, like, if you had to introduce cricket to somebody who is working in your company or some of your friends who are non-Indian, so who are the four or let's say five players from world cricket who you would recommend them to watch, by saying watch these players and probably you may start liking the sport. So why he asked this, it has to be current players, not the past. So we can't include the Dravids and the Pathans or Sachin of the world. So we have to look at current world cricket scene. So I'll give four players who I would suggest. If somebody is not a cricket fan, I would like them to watch Jasprit Bumrah ball, Virat Kohli, Steve Smith bat, and Babar Azam bat. And if you have the patience, then I would say maybe have a look at a Pujara. It's the way, that's how he uses his mental strength more than his skill also to go about it. But that's what I would give a, let's say, beginner or cricket for dummies or whatever, as it's called. Many we see online when you learn a new skill. So first thing you get is dummies for dummies. So they had to get introduced to the sport currently. I would ask them to watch these five players.
Okay.
So who are these players in your opinion, like in the world, not only India?
Okay. So, I mean, I think one thing for a cricket fan today, the way to introduce people is mostly to through T20s, because that's what is entertaining for someone who's not followed cricket for a long time. And that being like said, I think the West Indies cricket team in general is an extremely fun team to watch, right? Like
Yes, nice.
all of those cricketers. So that's I would definitely recommend that. Like right from being eccentric on the field to the celebrations and all of that is something that would make a new viewer enjoy watching. So if you ask me to list cricketers as such, probably Dwayne Bravo, Darren Sammy, and all that from there. Chris Gayle, from there. More again, more from an entertainment perspective, right?
Right. Yeah, actually, why I brought up Steve Smith in my list is he makes batting look so almost ridiculously easy, but he's so weird in the way he goes about things. So I
Yeah.
think someone who's not seen the game would find him actually funny and might actually watch the game, is what I feel. And then find that, okay, this bloke can actually score double hundreds at will with this kind of techniques and his face mannerisms, shoulder going up, down. Back going up door. I don't know what he does, why he does that, but he has his own weirdness to it. I had to add to the sport, so that is one reason. And of course, Kohli is obvious, the epitome of some of success. So somebody following the NBA or NFL back there in USA would want to know who is the best in the like a LeBron James or something in NBA. They want to know who is the best player. Then I think definitely most of us across the world would say it is Kohli nowadays.
Yeah,
So that was
in
what I
today's
feel.
game, yes. Yeah. I completely agree with both those names. Those were the names I was coming to next. Steven Smith and Virat Kohli. I mean, both of them have been incredible in the last, what, 5, 6 years, I guess. Probably even longer. And those are definitely people I'd recommend. Another person that I'd recommend is Mitchell Starc, again, because of my fascination for Pacers. Yeah. I mean, I think. Oh yeah, and Ashwin. I mean, I think I enjoy watching Ashwin bowl, especially on a third day or a fourth day wicket.
Yeah,
It's like,
yes.
I mean, the number of variations, number of different deliveries that he actually brings in. I mean, yeah, I would in Test cricket more than. The highlights are like the highlights would show you the best balls and best things and stuff. But I think in Test cricket, setting up a batsman actually is a bigger deal as such. So you like when you would see the dismissal, you'd be like, oh my God, why did the batsman actually play such a shot? Right? The four balls before has actually made him play that shot. Right, yeah. So, yeah, I think Ashwin's another person that I l love watching bowl. So,
Yeah, that's amazing. That's something which that's an angle which I didn't think of myself as well, because I wouldn't definitely, although I really love what he does on the field with the skill and all that, but For a beginner, I don't think I would, because one more reason is he's not rated too highly. If you look at the Indian common Indian fan, he's split between post Mankad Ashwin and the Ashwin who plays overseas. So what he mentioned in ESPN video cast with Sanjay Manjrekar, the point where he was angered when people questioned his intention when he went overseas, they actually tried to blame him that he got injured on purpose. So he could see the anger simmering on his face almost, like when he was giving the interview. So I could sense the pain in that he never, nobody does that firstly. And yes, we have got to agree that he has a tremendous home record and a rather average away record. But just because of that, he doesn't get spoken about much. Actually, Nathan Lyon gets spoken about much more, I would say, than Ashwin. And I would pit them almost equally, if you ask me, for their contribution. Yeah, so it was a really good chat and great catching up, discussing about the game. So any final thoughts before we end this episode?
I mean, I loved talking right through this episode. This is a fun conversation. I mean, I'd love to do more if you do have plans of this was a generic chat, and
Yes, yeah.
I'd love to do more specific ones on certain topics or anything like that, or even if you have a few more people that you're planning to bring in. I'd love to be a part of it. That was fun.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, as you said, that is something which was brought up when we did the episode with I guess Varun as well. So that's what he said. So it was more of a generic chat, but he would love to discuss about a particular topic. So I think what we could do is maybe we could bring both of you on the show again, on the podcast, for that particular topic. So, and we can have a, probably I could, we could discuss this, I could discuss this with Suraj, and then we four could have a group panel sort of a discussion on one hot topic or something. We can do something, but yeah, gives a very thrilling and I would say very great opportunity for me to get your thoughts on a wide range of topics. So that's what happened when we have interacted. It was mainly to do with the current series or what is happening on that day, whenever we met in your house or when you came to my house. So there used to be some match going on. So our discussion would be mainly on that particular game. So it was not on a wide range of topics like we did today. So personally, I'm feeling pretty thrilled and really happy. And I hope that listeners tuning into the podcast would also find it equally thrilling as well. So on that note, thanks for joining me.
Sure, yeah. And fun. Thanks for that.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Yeah.